Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world from what it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now,
wonder what you tell me now.
Oh, fire!
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful, exciting evening. We just thank God once again for his grace and his mercy. We thank him for all that he continues to do for each and every one of us as we journey through this wonderful life that he continues to bless us with. Never take it for granted. Be grateful. Be thankful every single day that God allows you an opportunity to get up out of your bed and be able to have the activity of your limbs and be able to do the things that you have set aside to do for a given day. Be grateful, be thankful, and just say thank you to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the blessings that he continues to bestow upon your life. My name is Tammy Store. We'll be joined by Minister Jesse Store shortly, thanking God for his ministry gifts and all that he will do to share through transparency with us tonight, thanking God for the words of encouragement that he will allow me to share, thanking God once again for allowing all of us to understand the importance of studying to show ourselves approved. And sometimes it's not even a deep, deep drill. Sometimes it could be little things that can make a big difference in your relationship. The question is, are you allowing yourself to be in a position around individuals that think like you do, that want a wonderful marriage, that want to experience oneness, that understand and knows what they must do to have a successful marriage? You can't hang out with individuals that all they want to do is go out and party without their spouse, and things happen when you are apart in an environment like that. So we have to be selective in what we say and do and how we do it and when we do it and what we do to be able to enjoy the oneness that God speaks about in Genesis 2:24. I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that you made it tonight, though, and I hope and I pray that you allow yourself this gift. It's 1 hour of your time on a Monday night to come and just share, even with you sharing, it allows you when you send something out in the atmosphere and you're blessing somebody else, guess what? The law of reciprocity, you get it back in return so God can bless you. Just don't be selfish and keep things to yourself that you know has worked for your marriage and changes that you've made that made a difference, because somebody else may need that tonight. Somebody may be on tonight. They don't understand what it means to enjoy oneness. They may not understand what it means when we talk about oneness in the summertime? In the summertime, are you going separate ways? In the summertime, are you coming together to say, let's do some of these activities together in oneness? I'm just only hoping and praying that you allow yourself an opportunity to spend more time together as a spouse so that you can continue to grow and continue to learn about one another. Get into each other's extracurricular activities. Somebody might be a golfer. Somebody might play tennis. Somebody might play racquetball. It doesn't matter what activity it is. Just take time out of your day to learn what your spouse is doing so that you can go and enjoy those festivities with them, those activities with them. I'm just always grateful and thankful that everything I can do with my husband, I do my part to do it. I'm looking forward to vacationing this summer with him. I did just making it real and just being honest. I don't desire to vacation with anyone other than really my husband. Now, there may be times that I get away for a short period of time to go and be with some friends and doing some things. But when it's a long vacation, I desire to be on that vacation with my husband. And so I'm grateful and I'm thankful that we do enjoy, just like went out and worked out today. We're workout partners. We try to do whatever we can together to enjoy the time that we do have together. So I'm just hoping that this summer, as we talk about oneness in summertime, that you will go out of your way and do some things a little different to be able to enjoy this summertime with your spouse. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to come before your throne of mercy, your throne of grace. Thanking you for allowing us to be able to understand and know that we can't walk this walk alone. We can't talk it alone. We need you every step of the way. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for your presence in the lives of the individuals under the sound of our voice, that you've just guided them to come to the Blog Talk Radio show tonight concerning oneness in the summertime. I thank you, Lord God, that these individuals, they understood and knew, Father, when you were encouraging them to get on and learn whatever they can tonight to apply it to their marriage. And I pray for every marriage that's represented, marriages to be, those that are not even engaged, may not even be dating anyone yet. But I pray for those individuals that came tonight to be able to understand and know what they need to do to study to show themselves approved. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you give us all an understanding that we, Father, can do all things through you, Christ Jesus, that strengthens us. And that means even doing exceptional in our marriages, that we have the ability to be able to get along, to love on one another, to edify one another, to have an open communication. And I'm just asking, Lord God, anybody that is lacking in this area, will you please, in the mighty name of Jesus, would you intervene and help teach them, Father God, on what to do with this area. I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to be with all of us and allow the fruit of the Spirit to be, Father, on the forefront of everything we do. Let us be able to recognize, know, and understand that it is a game changer. And I pray tonight that we all understand what it means to love, what it means to have self-control, what it means to be gentle, what it means to be able to have peace, what it means to have everything that we need called self-control, what it means when we are able to together and be everything that we need our individual spouses to be. And I know that if we start with the fruit of the Spirit, we will recognize, know, and understand what it is that we must do. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for just giving us, Father, patience that we know that you can give us to be able to exercise that right, Father God, to be able to understand and know that everything happens for a reason, and let us not rush certain things. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to go and give us an understanding of the things that you desire for us to do on a daily basis. I want to just say thank you for the many blessings that you continue to just bestow upon each and every one of our family members, immediate and extended. Those that are going through bereavement, touch them, help them, cover them, comfort them, carry them when needed. Those that are going through a financial challenge right now, I pray that you open up the windows of heaven, pour down a blessing upon those that are in need, Lord God, but let them also understand and know that so much is given, much is required, that, Father, that are capable and they can go out and work, Father. Give them the ability, to, Father, through discernment to find the right employer to go to and be able to spend some hours there. I want to say thank you, Lord God, for just allowing us, Father, to be able to understand and know the things that we understand that we can't do on our own. And so, Father, when we know there's battles that we can't fight on our own, we're asking that you release your army and go and fight those battles for us. Thank you for allowing us to be victorious in all that we do. As always, thank you for this man of the hour. Thank you for my husband, Minister Jesse Storr, that you would bless him, Father. His vocal cords will be anointed and blessed by you, that he's able to release and send it out in the atmosphere, everything that you desire for him to share with us. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for giving him the ability to just press his way through. And I just want to pray, Lord God, that you have pricked the hearts of individuals that are under the sound of my voice and under the sound of Minister Jesse's voice, that they have a word in season that they can share with us on the Blog Talk Radio show. It's interactive. And we just ask, Lord God, that they just press one on their phone, and then they'll be placed in the host queue. And at the appropriate time, they will be able to speak. And I just want to say thank you in advance, Lord God, for just ministering to those that you desire to come forward and speak tonight and just give them confidence. Let them rebuke fear, for we know it's false evidence appearing real. And I just pray tonight that whatever it is that we have come to receive tonight, that it will be there on a platter to be served up. Go and be with us, Lord God. Give us an opportunity to continue to magnify your holy name. I just want to say I love you, Lord God, and I appreciate you and thank you for all that you continue to do in each and every one of our lives. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for the mothers that were celebrated on yesterday, that we set aside some time just to celebrate mothers that just do so much. And then we know that we get that opportunity just to extend that same blessing upon our men, Lord God, for Father's Day next month. And I just pray, Lord God, that you continue to give us all the ability to recognize, know, and understand what we must do to be the best mother, the best father here on this side of heaven. And we want to just say, Lord God, go lead, guide, and direct us to be able to intervene with our young adults when we know they need our wisdom. Just let us, Father, be able to go with your lead and your guide so we know what to say, when to say, and how to say it. I just want to say thank you once again for all the many, many gifts that you have bestowed upon all of us under the sound of my voice, that we're using them for the upbuilding and uplifting of your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. And amen one more time. Praise God for beautiful prayer, presentation, introduction. Thank God for my queen, for her ministry gifts, and all of the blessings that she brings into the lives of so many who know her that God has made available to her. We praise God and thank God tonight for your presence, for being here. But we know that there are other places you could be, but God called you into this place on this night for this particular subject matter, for you to hear about oneness and perhaps to share about oneness in the summertime. You know, it's a beautiful thing when we think about the seasons that we experience. So many people say they love seasonal change. They love to be able to see all of the different seasons that take place, the changes in all of the seasons, because it's just something about them. And they love to see the colors change. They love to see the temperature change. They love to see all of that. And so we welcome those who enjoy all of those seasonal changes when it comes time with that, because, you know, it's similar to what we run into in life. In life, we have situations that we run into that are seasonal changes as well. And so we want to encourage all of us to know and to understand that as we go through these seasonal changes, as these seasonal changes take place, we are not alone, that all of us who are going through these challenges that we must go through when we are here in this particular dispensation. It's just like a tornado sometimes. Sometimes it's like a tsunami. Sometimes it's like a hurricane. Sometimes it may be like a lightning rod or lightning. But through it all of the changes that we may go through or that we may face, We have a Father who is willing, that we are willing, to give us everything we need to see it through. I mean, think about it. You know, they have a season, they have a tornadoes for those that live in the Midwest. We have a hurricane season for those that live in the Southeast and really all along the Eastern Seaboard during hurricane season. We have rainy seasons. It appears that we have rainy seasons so often and for so many things that we can't get beyond the fact that there's going to be a change, that the only thing we've got to do to see a change in the weather is to be patient, and it will indeed happen. Regardless of where you live around the world, you're going to have some particular type of change in the weather patterns. And summer, while it's a beautiful time and most people love the concept of summer, we know and understand that summer, it can bring a lot of challenge, lightning and storms and, again, hurricanes and hail and tornadoes, and it's just very turbulent. And sometimes when we sit back and we meditate and we think about the weather, we sometimes may think, wow, that's indeed true, that I have a lot of challenge in my relationship with my spouse. I don't know why that is, but it seems like sometimes we just struggle, like we're going through some challenging times. And when that takes place, we got to have some way to reflect and some ways to know and to understand it's not fully unique. It's not fully unique. Because marriage, like the weather, and with all of these various seasons, it will require a successful marriage that couples develop a plan, a goal, and a strategy. It is unavoidable, and it is difficult to overhaul the seasonal demands without an understanding of this reality. Those that are conflict avoidance, for example. You cannot be conflict avoidance in a marriage. You have to be willing to know and to understand you will have conflict at some times about something. But it doesn't mean it's a terminal conflict. Doesn't mean it's something that should destroy or kill your marriage, even though the enemy is seeking whom he may devour and whom he may steal, kill, and destroy from. See, these changes, if not properly managed, can utterly destroy what has been a great marriage in the past. You know, perhaps you've been married 50 years, 40 years, 30, 20, 10, 5, whatever it may be, and everything's been great. And all of a sudden, some significant emotional event may take place. Something in the life of either one of the spouses, and where this significant emotional event causes that particular spouse to be cast into a role that is different, that's new, one that they have not dealt with, they have not given consideration to the possibility that something like that could happen. And so it could put a lot of stress, a lot of strain on the marriage. And see, what we got to understand is that the challenges we face in life, they're not discriminatory, meaning that they don't discriminate against any specific group or any specific part of the world. No one is immune from the changes we all will face if we live long enough in the current dispensation. So given this reality, what can we learn from the seasons of the year in the phases we face in our marriages? So that's what we want to look at somewhat this evening, because the main point is that just like the Weather Channel or other weather stations or weather platforms. Their job is to give you and give us an indication of what you're going to face and what the weather patterns are going to be like. We attempt to do the same thing in saying, hey, these are some things that you must be given consideration to. And you can find different perspectives on marriage from different people, but the one thing that they hold in common, all of these people that are committed to marriage or they have a ministry of marriage, the one thing that is common is that you will have some challenges. I know some people say, how could it be? You get married, you go through your phases of marriage, there's no children. If you're so lucky, you're able to do all kinds of things together, beautiful things together. You're able perhaps to go and also do some things with your buddies and with your sisters, and everything's great. Then all of a sudden, you have a child. You get pregnant. Even before the child arrives, there's a change that's necessary. There's something that takes place. All of a sudden, you find yourself having a need to go to the doctor. You find yourself having a need to be more sensitive. You are the man. Well, you had not given thought to the possibility of going to the doctors. You hadn't given possibility to thinking about, oh, what am I going to do, clean a baby if we have a baby? Mind you, some men deal with this really, really easy with no big deal. Where on the other hand, there are some men that have a tremendous, tremendous challenge. And hold on. Let me also say it's not just men. Some women, when the reality of now they have become a mother hits them, sometimes they themselves may have a difficult time in just changing a baby's diaper, especially if a baby, for whatever reason, may have a runny discharge or their stomach is upset or they have diarrhea or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, now all of a sudden, you got something that's coming to your life that's not going away. It's going to be there. And so you go through this period of time where now you've got a new person that you gotta deal with because now you have a child. And if God bless you so much, guess what? It could be another year, 2 years, three, four, whatever you and your spouse decide, when bam, you get hit with another child. And so now not only have you dealt with the challenge of having a child that's now come and having to be integrated into the family, now there's a second or a third. Now second or third, we think, feel, or believe, oh, that makes it a little easier because they have someone they can play with. They have some, and it's true. It is very true. They have someone, if it's an older sibling, that they will be able to assist. And so it's a beautiful thing because it's a blessing. But at the end of the day, there are some marriages that don't get through that period. They don't get through ideal, even the first few months, that they're going to be awakened in the middle of the night by a baby crying, by a baby being wet, by a baby being hungry. They're going to have a difficult time. And because of that difficult time and because perhaps of the selfishness of one spouse or the other, that marriage may be on shaky ground just because of something as simple as who's going to get up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. to go and change the baby's diaper or go and give the baby something to eat. Now, this is real deal. This is real stuff. You know, you may be surprised, you may not be surprised, but it really can cause marriages to fall apart. And so you can project with me that as that child or childs begin to go through life and flow through life, there are so many opportunities what you believe about schooling, what your spouse believes about schooling. And so all of a sudden, all of these particular events that could take place, just like all of the events that could take place in the summer from a weather standpoint, now all of a sudden you got all kind of storms brewing in your home due to the fact that now you're being challenged about how you're going to take care and how you're going to respond to the challenges of a baby that's just come onto the scene. Now, there are several people, again, that will tell you there are common problems that married couples have to deal with. I'm just going to hit a couple, and then I'm going to ask you, Queen, after I hit a couple, if you just hit one on your phone and let me know that you're back in the studio. I know we've been separated by distance early on into the broadcast tonight. Let me know when you're back in position, and I'll open up your mic and let you share as well with whatever God has placed on your heart. But very quickly, before we get into some solutions or give into some calls, let me very quickly share with what some of the experts, this is a compilation of what a lot of people say are common problems that's going to create storms in your marriage, similar to what we have to deal with all individuals when it comes to the summertime and the unpredictability of what weather patterns may do. The number one, lack of communication. That should not be surprising. As long as we've been doing this, which is now we started in 2009, 14 years in August, that's what we said for the 14th, lack of communications. And see, these communication problems, they make it difficult to listen or to understand, difficulty assuming leadership or ownership, and difficulty in reserving the time and space to have healthy conversations. See, when you got some issues going on, both parties may find it easier to say, I haven't had time or we haven't had time, when in reality, in order for a marriage to be healthy, you must just take the time whenever that is necessary. The number two, lack of intimacy. So many people, as we mature, will say, that's not that important. Again, as you look at the research, it says sex matters. And it matters to the point to where as you age and as you mature, you have to become creative sometimes. Because sex problems, for example, is when couples have different views on sexual intensity and frequency level in their marriage. Both parties have to be mature. Because as a man, for example, goes through life, there are certain situations that have just happened to him based on his own chemical plant. And there are certain things that if he's not producing in terms of the hormones and the minerals necessary to do certain things in the sexual relationship, then a wife is going to have to be understanding. And there may be a need for them to go and visit a urologist or visit someone that may be able to assist them in maintaining a level of intimacy. It may require a man who in the past was really never into snuggling and hugging and caressing and just doing those types of things. It may require him to change. It may require him to become more empathetic to the needs of his spouse. So you got to share your sexual needs. It may feel awkward. You got to share things that are going on in your body because this physical part of your relationship is critical to the salvation of your marriage. And by sharing your feelings, your thoughts, your fears, you're being honest. And this honesty will strengthen your relationship with your partner. There's no doubt about it. It's just the way that God set it up. You've got to open up because the word tells us we have to seek if we want to find. We have to knock if we want to enter, and we have to ask if we want to receive. And number three, we're in different life stages sometimes. You know, sometimes when we get married, we don't understand that we are going to go through different phases, and we may not go through these phases and stages at the same time. And so being in this different stage of life, it can be very taxing on the relationship. And, you know, it's just reality. And so the time spent away from one another, growing apart in terms of interests and life goals. When you don't feel connected, you know you can begin to have your relationship impacted. The key thing is to make your relationship a priority. You've got to have some date nights. You've got to have some things that you do together. Tammy mentioned all of the things that we love doing together, taking a vacation, working out, walking together, praying together, reading together, watching a movie together, playing. You got to have a laundry list of activities that you enjoy doing with your spouse if you want to experience oneness in the summertime. If you don't, even though it might be summertime, even though the temperatures may have risen to a point to where dresses are shorter, I mean, more, however you want to look at it, just being real, it's going to be like an icebox in your home. It's going to be like an icebox in your bed. Now, the next thing that can cause significant issues, of course, is infidelity. And infidelity in the 21st century, in this modern age, a lot of times is not necessarily even about one spouse or the other actually engaging in a physical relationship with the other. It's not about that at all. It could be just the emotional connections, the people you know. And sometimes a wife or a husband don't know about that relationship, and they feel uncomfortable about that relationship. And just to be truthful, you have to make a decision sometimes. Are you going to give up that relationship because it may cause such concern with your spouse that by you continuing to maintain that relationship, even though there may be nothing going on, but if in fact it could be a possibility that something could happen based on old relationships or whatever, you must be willing to say, let me take a separation period. Let me make sure I can show, I can illustrate, I can prove that my marriage is more important to me for the moment than trying to maintain a relationship with someone of the opposite sex that could cause my spouse heartburn. So we have to be sensitive to that, because a lot of times they may not understand, may not feel, they themselves may not have relationships with those of the opposite sex. Number five, oh my goodness, jealousy. How many of you are jealous? Don't raise your hand all up at the same time. If you're jealous, you know, you don't supposed to be jealous. You're supposed to walk in the bodacious confidence of a person that's married, wrapped around with a thing called love. And in that package, you don't deal with jealousy. But let's keep it real. Sometimes a little jealousy is there, and that's normal. But excessive jealousy to the point to where you don't want your spouse to even say hello or speak to someone of the opposite sex, that's a little too much, I believe. You may have a spouse that God has gifted with the ability to just speak, gifted with the ability to make people feel comfortable, gifted with the ability to say something that just intuitively will lift the person up, and a person will just say, well, how in the world did you know I needed a word right situation? Well, if that's the case and you have a spouse that's gifted like that, you have to grow in your confidence to know that's a gift from God. And since it's a gift from God, You got to allow God to use your spouse in that manner and have the confidence to know that nothing is going on. It's a balance. Jealousy is a balance. And if you're dealing with someone that's always jealous, it may be necessary to go and seek some professional help. Because created jealousy, meaning jealousy that doesn't exist, but is created in the mind of one of the spouses, it can indeed destroy a marriage. Again, Queen, I'm going to say if you are in position when you get back to the studio, hit one, and I could turn on your mic. Now, this may sound strange to some, but we all have to do everything we can to make sure that we don't make our marriages bored, you know, the monotony of doing the same type of things. And don't get it twisted. I mean, it is challenging because as we age, the other part of the whole process is that we are not as mobile in the sense of our physicality is not as dynamic. It's not as strong as it was in the past. And sometimes even repeating or doing some of the same daily activities, quite honestly, is difficult. And so we have to begin to use our imagination. God gave us an imagination. And remember, he said that nothing man can imagine can be constrained to him. So do you imagine yourself with your spouse? Do you imagine being on a beach? Do you imagine being on vacation? Do you imagine walking in the sand? Do you imagine playing some pickleball? Do you imagine doing these things? Well, if you do and then you execute them, you'll get rid of boredom because you ain't got time for boredom because you're doing too many things together. So even here, you need to make sure that when you get bored that you share that with your spouse. So you can come up with ways. Let me just digress for a moment. Our children yesterday, may God bless them, three of our children that live here in the city, they came by and, I mean, we had a great time. We had said we're just going to get together on Mother's Day and we're just going to stay in the home. We're going to cook some food, buy some food, do whatever. We're going to just spread it out on the counter and we're just going to love on each other all day and all evening, and we're going to spend the night. And that's what happened. And it was a great time. It was a great time having a chance to fellowship, having a chance to watch a basketball game, a blowout, having a chance to watch a movie, having a chance to just do karaoke. It was a great time. So boredom in a marriage is the same. You have to maybe come out of that box. I know for me, it was a bit difficult sometimes, be honest with you. But you got to come out of that box. You may have issues that happen in your life. You have infirmities that you're battling. You have life issues that's taking place. And you have to be willing to say, I'm coming out of this box because I want to be set free. And you may be able to do that even more productively when you do it in your marriage. And you tell your spouse, we're going to make sure we never be bored. And then, of course, one of the things that all couples are challenged with is disrespecting boundaries. I mean, we still have to find a way to give enough flexibility to each other to where we don't feel like we're being controlled and dominated. No person wants to feel like they're in prison, like they can't do anything. And many times marriages run into issues because one or both of the spouses they're too demonstrative, too demanding, they're overbearing. And sometimes they don't mean to be, but their personality is of such a nature that that's exactly what they do, and that's how they come across. And when they come across like that, it can create unintended consequences to the negative side. And so all of us, we have to be careful on how we share with each other about, you know, things like where we're going and what you're doing and who you've been. You got to find a way so you both can be comfortable in asking, even as Rebecca, hey, I just want to know where you are. The same thing we tell our children. I just want to know where you are in case anything goes down. I just want to know that I could go back and say, hey, my spouse was going here or my spouse had been there, whatever it may be, without being overbearing and having each other feel, think, or believe that you got every step, every second of the day, they got to be knowing what time it is and what's going on with your itinerary. Don't want to have it like that. You want to have a little freedom. Of course, stress, number 8, my goodness. Stress is a good thing sometimes, but stress can also create some situations in our relationships that make it very difficult, especially when stress is coming from external places, you know, other relationships, responsibilities we have of being a parent, you know, worries that we may have with our monies and situations. They say so many Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. So America overall is a land filled with stress, filled with anxiety because of that reality. And stress management is something that is critically, vitally necessary in our marriages. And if we don't have the ability to find a way to eliminate this stress, exercise. We have another thing that the brothers do, prayer group. And part of the prayer group, what we do is we have a session that we call bragging on our physicality, where every man is encouraged to brag about something he is doing to create a better physical reality for himself, because we know there's a connection between physicality and the reduction of stress. And so we encourage each other in that regard, because stress management is something you can apply to all areas of your life. And when you can get that stress together and get it down and be it manageable, then doing things like journaling, working out, doing yoga, being creative, reading, getting outdoors, taking a walk, you can find ways and things you could do with your partner, and that would be to your advantage. We encourage that highly. Then, of course, different values. When we first got married, perhaps we didn't think about different values. Everybody we thought seemed to believe had the same, but we had not gotten deep into those value systems. But as years go by and we begin to have children and we begin to find that we have some disconnects and we don't see things the same way. We may have some disagreement about politics. We may have disagreement about how to raise a child, what's right, what's wrong. We may have all forms of disagreement as all of a sudden now we've been married 10 years, 15, 20, whatever. And what we thought were minor challenges, we begin to see they are big. This value differentiation becomes very big. And so we have to figure out how we're going to put that back together again through humility, through communication, being transparent in some kind of way, being willing to compromise, knowing that there is no such thing as absolute true belief. And there is the possibility that both parties can compromise and modify. Number 10, we can't think about the problems associated with marriage or the phases of marriage without money problems in a place that's a capitalistic society. Again, referring to that data that they said 60-some% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And that's very stressful, as we talked about a few moments ago. So we have to learn. I know what we do, many people feel it ain't possible. You know, we have one pile. We put all our money together. You know, regardless of who makes it or where, how it gets created, we pull it all together and have, you know, a common area. Everybody can't do that. And I understand, we understand everybody can't. But if you can, that would eliminate some issues. See, one person supporting an entire relationship or having difficult finding a healthy balance between spending and thrift and being thrift could also create a problem. If one person is always out spending the money. No, we got to find a way to use our common sense when it comes to joint ownership of money. And hopefully no one will get into situations where they are talking about it's my money and they're married. Number 11, trauma, grief. Oh, my goodness. Some event happens in life. There's a death, unplanned. There's some situation that's life-changing, and it can be difficult on the strongest of marriages. And so it's a point in time when, again, you must find a way to be empathetic to your spouse. If they're going through a period of time where someone may have died, they may have been diagnosed with some kind of disease and that's terminal, other things. But we have to find a way to maintain our empathy with our spouse. Number 12, social media. You may say, what in the world? I thought the same thing, too, when I first looked at it. But social media, from the standpoint that every time you see each other, every time you're together, you're sitting down, you're eating breakfast, you're eating dinner, you're riding somewhere, you're doing whatever, and both of you got your phone in your face, that instead of having conversation, you're just dealing with your phone, with social media. You're either sending texts, you're going up and looking at some app, you're doing something. I'm saying to you, if you want oneness in the summertime, all of us must find a way to put those phones down and be able to listen to each other. I'm going to open my queen's mic. I see she's back in the studio. Queen, your mic is open. Come on with your whatever God has given you.
Amen, Jesse. To God be the glory for this awesome topic tonight. I tell you, you know, it is a beautiful thing to be able to enter into some summer months. Now, it could get a little hot out there. I will tell you, today was very hot. I was out in and out of the car today, and it was extremely hot. But I think it's a good thing. I think what we need to do is get creative. I think one of the things when we talk about enjoying oneness, we've got to ask ourselves, how creative can we really be? What can we do to help make a difference with our spouse? I mean, one of the things, you know, all of those 12 that you gave were very, very good. And I'm just grateful because intimacy, to me, is just key in marriage. It really is. I mean, we got to figure out how to become, for some of us, even more intimate than we are. And intimacy doesn't mean that you're going to get in the bed and it's all about the bed thing. It's what actually happens before you get in the bed. Intimacy could be kissing on the neck of your spouse. It could be just kissing in general. It could be just holding hands and walking outside and just being able to talk and communicate. And leading up to when you get into the bed and that bedroom is undefiled, it gives you that opportunity to do that. But one of the things I think that really will make a difference, Jesse, when we really think about it, we must understand the needs of our spouse. We got to do some observation. We got to kind of listen a little bit more. We got to kind of be able to understand what they want. And we got to understand how to communicate with our spouse. So many cause so many issues where the communication is just torn down. And so how are you going to enjoy any summertime of oneness if your communication is off? Because it's then going to cause possibly some havoc where you may not want to go and enjoy some of these summer festivities. I will also say that, you know, when I think about it, you know, in order for us to have true oneness, and if we really want it, one of the things that we also must do, Jesse, is we as a person, we need to do a lot of inner work, self-reflection. So what we got to do is we got to kind of dig deep. And are we asking the right questions of our spouse? Are we respecting our spouse's space? Are we trusting our spouse? Are we doing the things that God called us to do. We got to edify ourselves. Are we doing those things? And if not, we have to be the one to look deep down into our inner self and our self-reflection to figure out how can we truly make a difference for our spouse. Working together and communicating, you know, will allow us the opportunity to enjoy oneness, because it will allow an exchange of conversation so that you're getting to know each other better by and by. And so all of that depends on the success that you have in your communication. Are you understanding your spouse? Are you, you know, being able to put certain things aside? I mean, we don't have to complain about everything. Some things we've got to let just roll off our shoulder. I really trust and believe that if we really get into what true oneness is, and, you know, we got to value that. And if we can value the true oneness that God created and put together, that I think we'll be on, you know, on the right track to make sure that we're able to go out on a daily basis in the summertime. And we might be just saying in the summertime because we know summertime is coming. But year-round, that you have the ability just to love on your spouse. You have the ability to be able to do the things that you need to do to be successful in the marriage God puts you in, to have the oneness that I know you desire. It's a difference in just being married versus experiencing oneness. And our desire is for all of you under the sound of our voice to be able to enjoy oneness in the manner in which God created for you to enjoy it. So continue to do your part to speak life into your marriage, to invite your spouse out to the activities that you're going to. Sometimes you might want to just take a walk in the park and, or just sit on the bench at the park and just enjoy just the outdoors. It is a beautiful thing. And I hope and I pray that God continues to bless each and every one of you. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, just thank you for tonight. Thank you for all that this awesome man of God has brought and has encouraged and spoken into and suggestions to our listening audience. I pray for every one of them tonight, Lord God, that whatever it is they stand in need of, meet them in their time of need. Help them have a better understanding of themselves so that they then can understand their spouse even better and have a little bit more patience and being able to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. So tonight, as always, thank you, Heavenly Father, for being in the midst. I felt your presence tonight, and I just want to say thank you for the things that you continue to do in all of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Agape love.